ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. వివేక చూడామణి శ్లోక 210. పంచానామపి కోశానాం నిషేధే యుక్తితశ్రుతే తన్నిషేధావతి సాక్షి బోధరూపో వశిష్యతే. వి హావ్ ఆల్రెడీ సీన్ ది శ్లోక ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ వెబినార్. వి హావ్ బీన్ డిస్కసింగ్ ది ఆన్సర్స్ టు ద 7 క్వశ్చన్స్ విచ్ ద స్టూడెంట్ రేస్డ్ ఇన్ ది 49th శ్లోక. అండ్ ద శ్లోక వాస్ కో నామ బంధ కథమేష ఆగత కథం ప్రతిష్టాస్య కథం విమోక్ష కోసావనాత్మ పరమక్క ఆత్మ తయోర్ వివేక కథమేద తుచ్యతాం. దట్ వాస్ ది శ్లోక 49th శ్లోక విచ్ గేవ్ ద సెకండ్ క్వశ్చన్స్. కో నామ బంధ, వాట్ ఈస్ బాండేజ్? కథం ఏష ఆగత, హౌ డిడ్ దిస్ బాండేజ్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్? కథం ప్రతిష్టాస్య, హౌ డస్ దిస్ bondage persist? Katham vimokshaha, how to free oneself from this bondage? Kaha asau anatma, what is anatma? Paramaha atma kaha, what is meant by paramatma? Tayoho vivekaha katham, how to discriminate between atma and anatma? These were the 7 questions. And after congratulating the student for such intelligent questions, the teacher made some general remarks until shloka 71 and started the teaching from 72. I am just recapping all this because we had a long break. I am just only refreshing what we have been doing all these days. And the acharya does not answer in the same order in which the questions were raised, but he takes up from question 5, kaha anatma. And this extends to shloka 123, and he discusses atma, question number 6, from shloka 124 to 136. Then shlokas 137 and 138, they gave the answer to the question, first question, namely what is bondage, and the fourth question, how does bondage arise, that was answered in shlokas 139 to 144. And the fifth question, how bondage persists, that was answered in the 145th shloka. And the sixth topic, how to get out of bondage, was answered from shlokas 146 to 148, three shlokas. And the seventh question, how to discriminate between atma and anatma, that was answered in shlokas 149 to 211. This was done elaborately through Sharira Traya Vibhaga, that is Stula Sukshma Karana Shariras, and also Pancha Kosha Vibhaga, Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, Anandamaya Kosha, so those Vibhagas. And concluding that Atma is not any of these, and then what would be the next job? The revelation of Atma as distinct from the panchakoshas and is as the consciousness principle. Therefore, we entered into Atma Swarupam topic from shlokas 210 to 222. This was what was started at the last webinar. And he said, panchanam api koshanam nishede. In shloka 210, suppose a person negates all the 5 koshas with the help of yuktitaha shrutehe cha, logic and shruti. So shastra, as we said earlier, mere logic will not lead us anywhere. Not mere shruti also will lead us anywhere. When we talk about consciousness, we should remember it is neither a part, a property, or product of the panchakoshas, but atma is an independent entity as revealed by the shastra. Ananda Atma. So the Upanishad clearly negated. Shankaracharya, he looks at the supportive logic We have different types of reasoning. The main one is what? Drik Drishya Viveka. We have seen all this earlier. Drik Drishya Viveka. So whatever I experience, I am not. I am the experiencer and I am not anything that I experience. This Drik Drishya Viveka, that is called Yuktihi here. So with the help of Shruti Pramana and Shruti Sammata Yukti Pramana, one has to do the negation. And the negation itself has to be done in three stages. The first stage is the negation or the nisheda is what? Anatma is not me. Body is not me. The first type of nisheda. Why Atma is not me? So, Anatma, why is not me? Because I am the experiencer. And Anatma is experienced. And I am different from Anatma. And then the second stage of negation will be, is Anatma is not even related to me. I am different from Anatma. Anatma is not even related to me. It is not enough that I see Atma as different. I should also know that Anatma is not even related to me. So the first one is called Ahankaraha and the second one is called Mamakara. So body is not me is Ahankara Nisheda. Or Tadatmya Adhyasa, body is not mine, is Mamakara Nisheda or Samsarga Adhyasa. All these terms we have already introduced. So both to be negated. And how do we negate the relationship? By again seeing that I, the Atma, the Chaitanyam, am Asanga Chaitanyam, free from all relationship. Therefore, first stage of Nisheda is I am a Drashta. I am a seer and therefore different from the body. And the second stage of Nisheda is I am Asangaha. Therefore, I am not related to the body or the Panchakoshas, whichever, or Anatma. Therefore, Anatma is not me and Anatma is not related to me. And then comes the final stage of Nisheda, the most technical and most difficult negation. And that is what? Anatma is not as real as me. Just as the dream world is not as real as the waker. This is called Satyatva Nishedaha, the final stage. So we have got Ahankara Nishedaha, Mamakara Nishedaha, and Satyatva Nishedaha. All these three Nishedas, they put together, that is called Nisheda here in this shloka. Now, in these shlokas, Shankaracharya, he does not bring all those aspects. He only talks about Nisheda in a superficial way, in a nutshell. Shankaracharya will bring the elaboration of this Nisheda later. We will see in detail later. So, when Anatma is negated with the help of Shruti and Yukti, what happens? Bodharupaha Sakshi Avashishyate. When everything is negated, the negator alone remains. So Shankaracharya says, Nisheda Avadihi, the reminder, the ultimate locus, Avadihi, which is the culmination of the negation, that alone remains. And what is its nature? Bodha Rupaha, who is of the nature of awareness. And you can never talk about the negation of awareness. To talk about the absence of awareness, you require awareness. So, Bodha Rupaha is called Sakshi Chaitanyam or Atma Chaitanyam. And this will avasishyate, this will remain. So, Bodha Rupaha avasishyate, what remains is pure consciousness as a noun and not as an adjective. Avasishyate remains. And what is the consciousness? Tan Nisheda Avadihi, which is the culmination of the negation of everything. And what is that? The negator that alone remains, who is unnegatable. So he is called Nisheda Avadihi, who is called the Sakshi, the witness alone or the consciousness, who is the culmination of negation, who is the negator, who cannot be negated, and who is of the nature of Chaitanyam consciousness. That alone remains. So this is the nutshell shloka, and the rest of the shlokas are only commentary or elaboration of the shloka alone. So this sarabhuta shlokaha asyam vyakhyanam itaha param. That's what we are going to see further now. Shloka 211. We saw this shloka also in the last webinar. I am just recapping. Yoya yatma swayam jyotihi panchakosha vilakshanaha avastatraya sakshi san nirvikaro niranjanaha sadanandasa vigneyaha swatmatvena vipaschita. So the nature of this sakshi, that is what is described in all these important shlokas. They are all very important shlokas. I am panchakosha vilakshanaha atma. We have seen this shloka also. I am recapping. Because we have changed the topic, I am recapping all this. This consciousness, which is the witness of all the panchakoshas, and therefore only is different from the panchakoshas, that is called atma. That which exists always. So yachasya santato bhavaha tasmat atmeti kityate. That which exists unnegatably in the form of the very negator of everything, that which ever exists, that is called atma. And what is the proof for its existence? Consciousness does not require any proof, because if consciousness has to prove by, has to be proven by someone else, how will that somebody prove consciousness? By being consciousness of the consciousness. Conscious of the consciousness. How do you prove? So I have to prove consciousness by only saying that there is consciousness, because I am conscious of it. Therefore, consciousness is never proved by anyone. It need not be proved by anyone. It is self-proved. It is self-evident. And therefore, it is called Swayam Jyotihi, self-evident. Because the ultimate prover should be unproved, will not be available for proving. So that proof consciousness, we already used this word. Swamiji already coined this word in the last webinar. We saw this. This proof consciousness is called Swayam Jyotihi. And what does it do? Avastatraya Sakshi. It is the witness of the three states. In the Jagrat Avastha, there is this external world. Consciousness illumines that. In Swapna Avastha, there is this internal world. Consciousness again illumines that. In Sushupti Avastha, there is neither external world nor internal world. Consciousness illumines that also. So the external world and internal world, they come and go. But consciousness never comes and goes. This non-arriving and non-departing witness of all the arriving and departing things, including time and space, most important, that is called Sakshi. In Jagrat Avastha, we have one time and space. In Swapna Avastha, we have another time and space. In Sushupti, we have no time and space. But consciousness is the witness of all the three states. Therefore, the witness consciousness must be beyond time and space, because it is in the presence of time and space, and it is in the absence of time and space also. Therefore, it should be what? Actually, in Narayaniyam, Sandra Anandat Vabhovat Vabhodatmakam Anupamidam Kala Desha Avadibhyam Nirmuktam Nityamuktam and all that. So, it should Kala Desha Avadibhyam. It should be beyond the parameters of time and space. Avastatraya Sakshi San. And Nirvikaraha, being unconditioned by time and space. Whatever is within time and space is conditioned, and therefore it is influenced. And what is the influence of time? It is vikaraha, changes. Time is always understood only in terms of the rate of change of an object. When sun goes from one place to the other, that movement is a measure of time. This is called spatial change, or we can take its modification. Scientists, they use the half-life period of change, which they use as standard to measure time. So, influence of time, that is always in the form of either spatial change or natural change, change within itself. And consciousness being uninfluenced by time, it has to be what? It has to be nirvikaraha, free from the six forms of modification. If you have to remember the Tattva Bodha, asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. So let me assume that we all know all these things based on Tattva Bodha. So niranjanaha, anjanam, any blemish, dark spot, impurity. And niranjanaha means without any blemish. It is pure. It is unpolluted. It's stainless. Shuddha. And that's what I said as asangaha. Therefore only body is not even related to me. And sadanandaha. What is the nature of that atma further? Anandaha. Anandaha means purnaha. It lacks nothing. Free from all types of limitations. Time-wise limitation, space-wise limitation, objective-wise limitations are all not there for that. So it is purnaha. And purnatvam alone emotionally expresses itself in the form of ananda. To know I am purnaha is to experience I am ananda swarupaha. And whenever I am a dukkhi, sorrowful, we have got the idea that I lack something. Sorrow is emotional, but it is born of an intellectual conclusion regarding whom? Regarding myself. And what is that intellectual self-conclusion? I don't have everything in life. For some people, money is there, love is not there. For some people, love is there, but money is not there, or people are not there. So if all of them are there, children are not there, and if they are there, obedient children are not there, something or other is lacking. This is called samsara. Therefore, sorrow is emotional, but the cause is intellectual. So self-conclusion of lacking something. And what Vedanta does is what? It does not directly attack your emotional problem. It attacks one's intellectual conclusion. It attacks that I lack. And the knowledge one gains also, that is intellectual only. And what is the knowledge? I don't lack anything. Aham purnaha. But this purnatva knowledge, it expresses as the at the emotional level as anandaha. So sada anandaha. Once this sense of lacking is gone, I am always sada anandaha. Nandati, nandati, nandatyeva, always. So iti, saha vigneyaha, that atma has to be known with the help of Vedanta. How? Swatmatvena, as myself. Don't say myself, then it becomes my possession. It is myself, that atma becomes then possessed. And I will become the possessor. But it should be one word, myself. It is not my space self. It is myself, one word. Meaning, aham eva ityartha. So, aham asmi. So, as long as I don't know atma as I, there will be no ananda. And this should be owned by whom? Vipaschita, by a discriminative person. Subtle intellect person, a person with a subtle intellect, qualified person, because a strong dehabhimana, identification with the body, is an obstacle for this knowledge. Therefore, by other religious sadhanas, we have to weaken the dehabhimana. Therefore, the initial process is what? Is weakening the body identification, dehabhimana, by taking this body as God's property. That is where religion helps. Later, we can give the Lord completely the body. Therefore, religion weakens dehabhimana and self-knowledge destroys dehabhimana. And the person who has weakened dehabhimana, he is called in this shloka as vipaschit. Discriminative person. That means sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. And we saw up to this in the last webinar. So now let us continue with the next shloka, shloka 212. Shishya uvacha mityatvena nishiddheshu kosheshveteshu panchasu sarvabhavam vina kinchit napasyam yatra he guru vigneyam kimu vastvasti swatmanatma vipaschita. So now the student, he raises a normal doubt, the common doubt. Because the Upanishads, they uniformly say that Atma is beyond the Panchakoshas. And therefore, it is different from the body, mind and intellect and beyond the thoughts also. Therefore, in teaching also, you have to negate all of them and discover the Atma. And we gave the example of the moss covering the water, the green stuff, you know, the moss covering the water. And the panchakoshas are supposed to be covering the Atma, the koshas. Kosha means cover. So our aim will be negating everything with the hope of discovering Atma. That is what the teaching was. And the struggles to remove all the thoughts also in the process. I struggled to, because I think I have to go to a thoughtless stage. But generally, this person, he does not succeed to go to that stage. And then he perhaps succeeds, for example, to come to the thoughtless stage. But he still doesn't experience Atma. He is looking for an experience of Atma after coming to the blank state or the thoughtless state, because he has assumed that Atma is an entity and can be experienced after all are negated. This is an universal mistake of almost every Vedantic student. Shankaracharya, he understands this and he puts this question in the mind of the student. And the student asks, Hey Guru, O teacher, Yeteshu Panchasu Kosheshu Nishiddeshu Satso. Suppose all these five koshas are negated. In short, all experiences are negated. When you negate all the five koshas, means what? You negated all experiences. And mityatvena, as mitya, all are negated as mitya, unreal, or anatma. The full significance of the word mitya will be given only later. So it is enough if we understand that mitya as anatma in this context. So I have negated all the five panchakoshas as anatma. Then what do I find? Kinchit na pashyami. I don't experience anything at all. I don't see anything. I have up to blankness I have come to now. No new experience at all. He will keep on waiting. Nothing will come. And the worst is what? The mind gets pressured in the process. He is expecting something. Nothing is coming. And prolonged waiting leads to pressure of the mind. And what it do? It will give rise to some hallucinations also. It seems actually in psychology, there are studies of the mind in confinement, in pressure. And this person gets some experience as a result of that particular situation and concludes, I have seen Atma. All because of this fundamental problem. Therefore, here he says, Kinchit na pashyami. I don't experience, I don't see anything except one thing. What is that? Sarva abhavam vina. Other than total blankness, I don't experience anything. Atra. Atra means here. Now tell me, kim vigneyam u asti? What is there to be known? Kim vigneyam? Because it is utter blankness now. The word actually kimu, there's a word kimu there, kimu should be split as kim u. The sound u, actually it reflects the frustration of the student. He has done so much to come to this blank state. And he is looking for some experience to come. Nothing comes. So he is frustrated. What the heck to be known at all? He doesn't know. Swatmana, by oneself. Atma vipaschita, who is discriminative. This person, we already saw the word vipaschita earlier. So he is a discriminative person. One who has got the discriminative intellect. By such a person, what is to be known at all? So what is the student's assertion? I don't experience anything after negating the panchakoshas. So tell me, what is that blessed Atma? And what is the answer? When you negate everything, you have not negated one thing. And what is that? The negator or the observer who is eternally taken for granted. In the same way, when we talk about blankness also, the blankness also is talked about because of the observer alone. Therefore, what you call as blankness is observedless observer. Like nobody has come to the class, for example, if somebody says, nobody has come to the class, that means what? No one other than me has come to the class. Therefore, blankness has to be understood as awareness. What I think as blankness is formless awareness. The thoughtless state is formless awareness. You don't see that formless awareness because you are that blessed formless awareness. It is only a matter for owning up that I am that formless awareness. In me, the formless awareness thoughts arise. And in me, the formless awareness, that thought that dissolves. So thoughts arise and dissolve, but the formless I am there always. Without now knowing this, the student, he goes on struggling, waiting for some experience to come. Sri Guru Ruvacha, Satyamuktam Tvaya Vidvanna నిపుణోసి విచారణే అహమాదివికారాస్తే తద్భావోయమప్యనూం తదభావోయమప్యనూం సర్వే ఏనానుభూయంతే యస్వయం నానుభూయతే తమాత్మానం వేదితారం విద్ధి బుద్ధ్యా సుషూక్ష్మయా. సో ది ఫస్ట్ జాబ్ ఆఫ్ ద టీచర్ ఇస్ వాట్? Is to pat the student, encourage the student for every question he asks. Never say it is a silly question, it's a teacher's psychology. Never tell a student that this is a silly question, even if it is silly. Say it's a nice question, good question. So now you are thinking. So the teacher addresses the student as, hey Vidvan, oh intelligent student, Vicharane Nipunaha Asi. You are an expert, nipunaha, in analysis, in vichara, in inquiry, in mananam. Not only you have heard, shravanam you have done, in mananam also you are a nipunaha. And therefore, satyam uktam. What you say is valid. Your question is relevant. So, this congratulation part of the student, that is the first part of the shloka. And from the second part, the teacher, he tries to give the answer. So when you talk about the absence of everything, remember there is someone as the witness of absence who is present all the time. This is presented in the form of an important law in Vedanta. It's an important rule. Sakshi rahita abhavaha na sambhavati. Sakshi rahita abhavaha na sambhavati. There cannot be an absence without a witness. Because abhava, absence, is also an object of experience which requires the illuminating principle to reveal the absence. Bhava and abhava both require a witness, a sakshi, which means there is no absolute abhava. There is nothing like an absolute absence anytime. Since abhava means absence of everything except sakshi. All others may be absent, but sakshi, the witness, is always present. That is, abhava of everything, including the sakshi, is not possible. So, nis sakshika shunyata na sambhavati. This is one of our powerful arguments against the Buddhists. When Buddha says nothing is there, Shunyavada, we say you are there to talk about Shunya. Don't say that there is nothing. You are there to talk about the Shunya. Therefore, Shankaracharya says here, Aham Adi Vikaraha. All these modifications, that is the changing objects, Vikaraha. Beginning from Ahankara, representing the Vijnanamaya Kosha. Ahankara represents the Vijnanamaya Kosha. We have seen all this earlier. So Adi, Adi Padad, etc. It means, Adi means etc. Aham, Aham refers to the Vijnanamaya Kosha. Adi refers in addition to all of them. So Manomaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Annamaya Kosha, all those things. And also the Bahya Prapancha, the external universe, all of them. So by Adi, by the word Adi, all these things are all implied. So all these Vikaras, changing objects, are all witnessed by whom? By Sakshi. And in the next shloka, there is the verb actually, Anubhuyante. That is there in the next shloka, that has to be brought here and connected. So, Ahamadi Vikaraha Anubhuyante. All these changing objects, they are all witnessed by someone. Not only that, I am Tat Abhavaha Api. Even the absence of all of them, Abhava, even the absence of all of them in Sushupti, in deep sleep, in Samadhi, in Murcha, or in Koma, for example, state Koma. When one says that all the thoughts are stopped, so what is experienced? Abhavaha, absence of thoughts. So, Ahamadi Vikaraha, that represents Bhavaha and also Tadabhavaha. Both Bhava and Abhava, Anubhuyante, they are all experienced. By whom? We have to go to the next shloka. Sarve Anubhuyante. Sarve, that should be actually connected with the previous shloka. So, we connected Anubhuyante of this shloka to the previous shloka and Ahamadi Vikaraha and Abhavaha of the previous shloka, they are connected to Sarve of this shloka. So, Sarve Vikara, that's why we read both the shlokas together. So, Sarve Vikara Abhavaha and Sarve Vikara Bhavaha, all of them. Yena Anubhuyante. Yena means Sakshina Anubhuyante. They are all experienced by someone. And what is the nature of that experiencer? Swayam Na Anubhuyate. That experiencer himself can never be an object of experience. That experiencer can never be an object of experience. Because if consciousness is an object of experience, and I am the experiencer of consciousness, then what will happen? Consciousness will come, consciousness will go. But imagine consciousness going away. How can I experience the absence of consciousness then? It is gone. It is never possible. And so, consciousness is ever the experiencer, never the experienced. Therefore, Swayam Na Anusuyate. And that experience, unexperienced experiencer, that unobjectifiable subject, that unnegatable negator, all these terms we have already seen, is Atmanam Vidhi. That is called Atma. Who is the Vedita, the witness? Ma, he is the witness, Sakshi. And your job is not to come across that Sakshi somewhere. Your job is what? Is merely owning up that Sakshi, which is all the time present. As what? As yourself. And which has to be done with the help of the intellect. It's one's own intellect. Remember, we have to use the intellect as an instrument to own up the fact. But when you own up the fact with the help of the intellect, you don't include the intellect in consciousness. You use the intellect only as an instrument. We have already seen this also earlier. But you don't own up that intellect. For example, when you say, I am unhappy, in that I am statement, mouth is used as an instrument. But the happiness is the attribute of the mind only. When we say happy, do we include the mouth? When I say I am happy, do we include the mouth? No. happiness belongs to mind. For telling that, we use the mouth as an instrument. Similarly, I use the intellect to own up the sakshi, the witness, which is exclusive of the intellect. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, buddhya vidhi, use your intellect, buddhi, to own up that fact. That is why in the Nirvikalpaka Samadhi also, you will never be able to own up, because you will stop your intellect. You are in Samadhi. Then who is there to own up this fact? Therefore, we have to own up this fact with the help of the intellect only. And that too, what type of intellect it should be? You see, it should be Sushukshmiha. It is the Sukshma Buddhi. Sukshma Buddhi, it is Susukshmiya, because we have to use this intellect, but it should not include the intellect. How to do that? It requires a very, very subtle intellect to do that. Therefore, Susukshmiya, intellect, that Vidhi, such a intellect which is very subtle. Use that as an instrument to know that. Tatsakshikam bhavet tattate. यद्यत्येनानुभूयते कस्याप्यननुभूतार्थे साक्षित्वं नोपयुज्यते. So Shankaracharya, he mentions here a general rule. Any experience involves two things. One, the experienced, and two, the experiencer, the witness. Therefore, if there is an experience of nothingness, there also two things are required. And that experiencer of nothing is not nothing, it is something. That has to be different from that nothing which is experienced. So it should be a positive entity. It is Bhava Rupa. Therefore, there is nothing like nothing at all. That is why in Advaita, there is nothing like Abhava. There is nothing like an Abhava. That is why one of the definitions of Brahman is what? Is the absence of the world. The absence of the world. One of the definitions of the world is Prapancha Upashamam. Actually, in Mandukya Upanishad, Prapancha Upashamam, Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam, Chaturtam, Manyante. Sa Atma, Sa Vigneyaha. Nothing is the definition of Atma, because when you talk about nothing, what is there? The talker of nothing is there. When I talk about nothing, I am there. That is consciousness, Brahman. Therefore, he says, yad yad yena anubhuyate, whatever object is experienced by someone, tat tat. All those objects have tat sakshikam. They have the experiencer as their witness. Actually, it's an involved sentence. Whatever object is experienced by someone, all those objects have got the experiencer as the sakshi, as the witness. In Sanskrit, it is simply presented. In English, actually, we will split it into two. For example, suppose X is experienced by Y. Then Y is the sakshi of X. In short, the experiencer is called the sakshi of the experienced. And why do we say so? Kasya api anubhutarthe sakshitvam na upayujyate. Nothing can be a witness, or no one can be a witness with respect to an unexperienced object. Therefore, experiencer alone is the witness of the object. And without experiencing, the experiencer cannot be the witness of the object. Later, actually, the Acharya will extend the general rule to Abhava experience also. Later, he will do that. So, we are not going to see it right now. And what is the Abhava experience? When you negate all pancha koshas, there is total blankness. In that blankness also, what is there? There is this witness, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, that he will extend actually in the next shloka. We will see it later. So, kasya api, no one can have sakshitvam with respect to anubhutartha. With respect to an unexperienced object, nobody can have sakshitvam. No one can have the status of sakshitvam. Now, when we extend this to the blankness in the next shloka, asau swasakshi ko bhavaha yatasvena anubhuyate ataparam swayam sakshat pratyagatmana chetaraha. Now the Acharya, he extends that rule to that abhava, that is the total blankness. So when you negate the world, negate your emotions, knowledge, you negate your thoughts, when you do all of them, that blankness also has a witness, sakshi. And who is that sakshi? Now here alone, we have to extend the previous law, whatever we stated in the previous shloka, because the laws are all very important. Laws means the rules. Otherwise, the student will commit some mistake. Because we have said that Atma is Avastatraya Sakshi or Panchakosha Sakshi or Sarva Abhava Sakshi. We have defined all that earlier. So the student then may think, after negation of everything, the Upanishad says that there is a Sakshi. To negate everything, there is something called Sakshi, which is Brahman. So what he will do? He will start looking for that Sakshi. Who is that witness? Here alone, we have to apply the law given in the previous shloka. That is, the experiencer of the blankness is the Sakshi of the blankness. That is the root we saw earlier. And who is experiencing blankness? I am experiencing the blankness. I am aware of the blankness. I alone talk about the blankness. Therefore, I am the experiencer of the blankness, and therefore, I should never look for the Sakshi. I am the Sakshi. And therefore, asau abhavaha swasakshikaha. This blankness has got I as the Sakshi. I, myself, as a Sakshi. Or put it in straight language, I am the Sakshi of blankness. Therefore, that Chaitanyam I am, that Sakshi I am, therefore, Brahman I am. Enough of looking for something. I don't have to be looking for anything else at all. How long can you wait? You are that witness. You are that Brahman. Therefore, he says, asau abhavaha swasakshikaha. When you sit in meditation, when you negate all the thoughts in the blankness, do not look for the arrival of something, that something, witness. Do not look for that. That blankness is not blankness, but it is pervaded by that awareness. And that pervading awareness is what? Is myself. So instead of saying, I am the body pervaded by awareness, what should I understand actually? I am the awareness pervading this body. In which state? In Jagratavastha. And I am the awareness pervading the thoughts when thoughts are there. And I am the awareness pervading the silence in the thoughtless state also. So I pervade both the thoughtful mind and the silent mind. I pervade the active body and the passive body. I talk about silence. If I have to talk about silence, I must be aware of silence. I pervade lot of sound also. The silence also I pervade. What is the proof of that? I pervade the silence also. Because I talk about silence. If I have to talk about silence, I must be aware of silence. So he says, asau abhavaha. This blankness has I as the sakshi, as the witness. Swasakshikaha. It actually is bahuvrihi samasaha. So, swam eva sakshi yasya saha. Because otherwise, he will be searching for the sakshi elsewhere. So, the teacher says, you, who are the witness of your body, you are Brahman. Asau swasakshikaha abhavaha. And why do I say, I am the sakshi of the abhava? Because of the rule given in the previous shloka. Experiencer of something is the sakshi of that something. If I experience abhava, absence, I am the sakshi. So Shankaracharya says, yataha. Because svena anubhuyate, the blankness is experienced by myself. And therefore, I am the sakshi. Okay. By knowing this, what do I get? Shankaracharya says that the Upanishad points out that this sakshi is Brahman. You are Brahman. Because we have no means of knowledge to know about the nature of sakshi. There is no means of knowledge at all. Such as, what is its color? For example, how tall is Chaitanyam? When the Chaitanyam itself becomes an object, who will watch that? Therefore, the Chaitanyam is never available for any study. A Shastra gives me the knowledge of that Chaitanyam. It is not available for any study, but the knowledge is given to me by Shastras. Similar to what? For example, the mirror. We have already given the example earlier. The mirror telling me about my face. So, Shastra Darpana is required. The mirror of Shastras. Therefore, the Upanishad says, Pratyagatma Sakshat Param Brahma Bhavati. Brahman is understood here. So, this Pratyagatma, which is the Sakshi, Sakshat, Sakshi Swarupena Vartamanaha, this is Param Brahma. That is Param Brahma. So, Sakshi is Param Brahma. And who is that Sakshi? I am. And therefore, I am Brahman. Which means infinite. Brahman means infinite. And therefore, I am the infinite Brahman. And for example, someone asks a basic question. Why should I accept the Shastras? Shastra says so, but why should I accept it? How do you know that what Shastra says is valid? Where is the proof? We generally don't address this question, but in Vedanta, they deal with it. How do you prove the validity of any source of knowledge, for example? Suppose to prove a source of knowledge as valid, you use another source of knowledge. To prove one source of knowledge, you prove another source of knowledge. What will happen? How do you prove then that the other source of knowledge is valid? It'll go on. Then you need another source. So you need the ultimate source of knowledge, which does not require further proof or validity. For example, like an umpire in a match, whatever he says is final. So in the field of science, they have accepted the sense organs as the final valid source of knowledge. They don't question the sense organs. Therefore, the sense organs are believed. So science is based on that belief. These are all basic things, but when we really look at it in detail, we ourselves get some surprises. Science is based on that belief of sense organs. If someone asks, what is the proof for the validity of the sense organs themselves? What should be the answer? We accept the sense organs, and so we are taking it as ultimate source of knowledge. Unfortunately, it has been working all this time also. For example, when I say that this is a blue color, you also say it is blue and it is not contradicted. So, the validity of the source of knowledge is based on two conditions. One, what? It gives me a fresh knowledge which is not given by any other source. The color blue is not given by any other source like my ear or tongue or my nose. The eyes give me the knowledge of color, not given by any other source. And that knowledge given by the eyes is not contradicted by anything else. Therefore, this is called anadigatam abadhyam vastum bodhakam. That is pramana. So, a valid source of knowledge is accepted as is when it gives a piece of knowledge which is not contradicted by other sources. And Vedanta gives me an information about Chaitanyam, which is never given by any other source of knowledge. Only Vedanta gives. It's not only not given, they are not even able to study that. As we said earlier, some scientists, they said that consciousness is never available for study itself. And about that consciousness, Shastras give a knowledge which is never contradicted. So it is anadigatam and it is abhadyam, and so we accept Shastra as a valid source of knowledge. Exactly like what? The pratyaksha pramana. If Shastram is a belief, our sense organs are also belief only. Science believes sense organs. And what we say is, let us accept the sense organs in the field of matter, and let us accept the Shastra in the field of consciousness. So pratyaksham, matter vishaye pramanam, and Shastram, consciousness vishaye pramanam. So if Shastram is a belief, pratyaksham also is a belief. And if you are willing to believe the pratyaksham and conduct your life, why can't you then believe the Shastram also and conduct your life? If you say pratyaksham is not a belief, it is valid, then we will say Shastram also is not a belief, is valid. Either accept both as beliefs or accept both as non-belief as valid. We only talk about the validity. In fact, in advanced Vedanta Granthas, they go further and they say Shastra is more liable than even Pratyaksha Pramanas. It is all very, very beautiful discussions, but they are all too technical. So we skip them for the sake of the fundamental text here. So therefore, Shastram Pratyagatma Sakshat Swayam Param Brahma. Pratyagatma here means Sakshi. Sakshi is Param Brahma itself directly. Swayam. Swayam means by itself. So Sakshi need not become Param Brahma, but is Param Brahma as is. It doesn't have to become Param Brahma in future. It is Param Brahma as is. And what is that Brahman? That will be discussed later. Nacha itaraha. Nacha itaraha means nacha itaraha. Nothing else. It is Brahman only and nothing else. जाग्रत् स्वप्न सुषुप्तिषु स्फुटतरं योऽसौ समुज्जृम्भते प्रत्यग्रूपतया सदाहमहमिति अन्तःस्फुरन्नेकधा नानाकारविकारभाजिन इमान् पश्यन्नहं धीमुखान् नित्यानन्दचिदात्मना स्फुरति तं विद्धि स्वमेतं हृदि. So he says, therefore, O student, focus on the Sakshi Chaitanyam, the consciousness. Because when you say I, two things are evident simultaneously. What are those? One, the body, mind, thoughts, etc. They are all evident. And along with them, one thing more is also evident, which is I am alive. I am sentient. Consciousness. The consciousness also is evident. And what is our first confusion? What is the noun and what is the adjective? That is our first confusion. We think now that the body is noun and consciousness is adjective. So the first aim is what? Is to reverse this. That is, consciousness is noun and body as adjective. And once you come to consciousness as a noun, tvam pada lakshyartha is over. And thereafterwards, you want to study more about the consciousness, the noun, because it is separated now. For example, when we say the bright hand, we gave this example earlier, the bright hand, the light falling on the bright hand, we take the brightness as the adjective to hand. But we say, what we say, Vedanta says, brightness is not the adjective, but is the noun, it is the light. And that continues even after the hand is gone. Now, through the hand, I see the brightness. Remove the hand, brightness still is there. So first convert the adjectival consciousness to noun and separate it from the body. And learn to concentrate on that consciousness, that is, focus your attention to that self-evident noun consciousness. And then Shastra gives more and more information about the nature of that Chaitanyam. And the first benefit is what? The form belongs to the body only and not to consciousness. The form of this body belongs to only the body. And that itself removes the location of consciousness. The moment I know it belongs to the body, not to consciousness, it removes the location of consciousness. That is the first casualty, is location. Consciousness is not located. Now, if you look at the shloka, asau means this consciousness, the noun, the sakshi, samujrimbate, is evident, not as an adjective, but as a noun, at all times. And what are the times? Jagrat, swapna, sushuptishu. In Jagrat avastha, swapna avastha, and sushupti avastha. And the only difference is what? In Jagrat avastha, awareness is evident along with the located body. And in the sushupti avastha, awareness is evident without the location of the body. That is why when we sleep, we never say, I am here, when we are in deep sleep. From this, it is very clear, I am here, location comes only because of the body itself, of the body. It is aham, that I am, look, there is locationless. Therefore, jagrat swapna sushuptishu samujrimpate, it is evident. How do you know that? I have not seen my eyes, but how do I know? No, I have eyes. The very fact that this table, this computer, this light, all those things I see here, they are all evident to me, is because of the eye. Therefore, who can question the existence of this eye? So, the evidence of consciousness cannot be questioned because everything else is evident because of consciousness alone. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, he uses the word sputataram, without doubts, swayam prakashaha, it is evident very clearly. How? Aham iti sada, as I, I am aware of sound, I am aware of smell, I am aware of taste, I am aware of touch. And imagine, as even I am listening, for example, as we listen, we doze off. I go to sleep. This time, this space, this world, they are all gone at that time when I doze off. So, swapna desha, swapna kala, swapna object, they all come. I dream also. So, I am aware and I go to deep sleep state. So, desha, kala, vastu, they are all gone when I go to deep sleep. Then also, I am aware. But to say I am aware, I require what? The mouth. But to be aware, I don't require it. To say I am aware, I need the instrument called the mouth. But to be aware, I don't need it either. That is why in Sushupti, I will not say I am aware. Not because I am not aware, but to say that I am aware, it requires the mouth. Therefore, in Sushupti, I am aware. How do I know then? After waking up, I say, I was aware of nothing. I had such a sound sleep. Therefore, aham iti sada bhati, pratyak rupataya, as the inner self, pratyak rupataya, as the inner self. Every word in this shloka is all significant. Sada means at all times, even when time is not there. When there is no time, in sushupti, in deep sleep, there is no concept of time. And antahaspuran, shining within, evident within, ekada, uniformly. When I talk about the knowledge, for example, the knowledge, we are talking about the tree knowledge and that part knowledge and all of them. The part and tree, they are different, but not the awareness. When the light is pervading varieties of objects, the light is uniform in all of them. But the objects are not uniform. Similarly, I, the awareness, am same when I say I am sorrowful or when I say I am happy. The difference is not in me at all, in the Chaitanyam. I am aware of the sorrowful disposition and I am also aware of the happy disposition. The difference belongs to the dispositions or the thoughts and the mind. I am the illumining awareness, neither sorrowful nor happy. So, ekada spuran. Nanakara vikara bhajina iman aham dhimukhan. It's a beautiful expression. Not only I am evident, I illumine all the changing objects. I am changeless, but I am the illuminator of all changes. I am formless, but I am the illuminator of all forms, etc. So we will see further of the shloka, remainder of the shloka, we will see in detail in the next webinar. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti linasya parasamaheshwarah Sri Krishna Arpanamastu Narayana.